SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number on a Tuesday night where we have a lot going on. Plenty of NFL to get to. We got lots of hockey tonight, which is good because George is here. There is a lot of NBA too with this dopey NBA Cup. That begins tonight. Their regular season tournament that they have with all the crazy courts and at least guys maybe half trying as opposed to what they usually do in the regular season. We have the new college football playoff rankings that are getting released tonight in between that big doubleheader in college hoops. So there is a lot going on. That is for sure. Mike Carver with you. Sans Joe out on assignment. And I believe, like, not even just tonight. I think Joe's not here tomorrow night either, if I remember correctly. So I think we'll see Joe again. We'll see Joe around Christmas. It's probably when we'll get him back here on Carver and Lisi. But you do got me. And, of course, because it's Tuesday, you have Gentleman George. George Kurtz is with us, as always, too. Hi, George. How are you?
I'm well, Mike. Well, sort of well. About as well as you can be. Be a Cowboy Island fan, you know. And so the Yankees will take me off in a little bit as well when Juan Soto signed with somebody else, and so Sasaki's with somebody else. So it is what it is. You know, I haven't jumped off any bridges, so I'm here.
Don't worry, George. We're going to get to the Cowboys at some point. You know that I always do with you. We will get there. There's a lot to unpack in a season that is slip sliding away. Or shall I, maybe already gone, probably in your eyes, already gone this season. But we will get to them at some point. And the Soto stuff is going to infuriate you. I've prepared myself, George. At least I don't expect him to come back to the Yankees at this point. So if he does come back, it'll be a bonus. I don't expect him to come back. And I'm expecting him to go to the Mets at this point as well. So I've already, George, like, prepared myself for all of these things. You know, it's like the old saying, right, George? You know, always expect the worst and you'll never be disappointed. So that's kind of my angle with Soto. I fully expect, like, he's meeting with Toronto and meeting with the Red Sox even before the Yankee and the Met meetings, which are courtesy. I don't know. Toronto's the type of team, George, that we always talked about him, mercenary, taking the most money. It could be a team that does that, that offers him $1 more than anybody else. I could maybe see that. And he'd probably take it, too. He don't care. He'll take all that money.
The problem is this. You and I both know that Hal is not offering him the most money. All right? So if he wants the most money, it will not be with the Yankees. All right? It won't be. All right? I think we all know that. The two teams that are going to offer him the most money are the Mets and the Jays. And the Jays went heavy at Ohtani last year. At one time, we actually thought Ohtani might be heading there. But it didn't work out. I think the Jays will be right there. They might offer him the most money. Maybe they'll outspend Cohen. Then the question will be for Soto, is that where you want to play? Do you want to play north of the border? A team that, okay, we always think is going to be in contention, but never, ever is, for whatever reason. So that'll be interesting. Or does he want to go, you know, across county, you know, go to Queens and play for the Mets here, which you'll get, you know, a truckload of money as well. And that's assuming, by the way, that Toronto will outspend Cohen. I don't know they will. Maybe Cohen's going to be the big winner here, and he's outspending everybody, and that's where he's going to be here. And then you throw in, you know, you want to throw in a dark horse. Mike, could he go back to the Nationals? His brother plays in that organization. I mean, they have money.
I don't think they have the kind of money to compete with Cohen or even the Yankees. I agree with you that Hal will not offer him the most money, but I don't even think the Nationals could get into the Hal range. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's possible that they've been saving. Maybe they've got a couple of cookie jars laying around that they've been filling the money up with. But that would be very hard for me to believe. And you notice, very quiet Dodgers. Very quiet. You know, you haven't heard.
I don't think he goes there.
And,
I don't think he goes there.
And you brought up the other guy, Sasaki. I guess the Dodgers get every Japanese pitcher now. They just get them all. They just get all of it.
They don't want to play there.
I saw somebody bring this up. Is there a way to police this, George, with the international play? The players coming over from Japan being posted? Should there be another way? Like, you can only sign one every 3 years or one every 2 years. Should there be some sort of a cap with that to spread it around so that they all just, everybody that's coming from the Japanese league can't all just sign with the Dodgers? Like, can they make a rule like that? I wouldn't mind it. Why not? Do it.
I wouldn't mind it either, but this be the MLBPA will never vote for it. Right?
No.
That's what'll never happen. No. They won't give that up. They want the other player. Although in this case, Sasaki's not going to make that much money. He can only make whatever the largest amount of international bonus money each team has. The Dodgers, by the way, would be one of the lowest teams. So if he does play for the Dodgers, he'd have to play for one of the lowest amounts. Don't get me wrong. The highest amount teams have $7+ million they can offer him. The Dodgers have $5+ million. So you're only talking a difference of $1.5 million, $2 million a year. But he's not. He wouldn't be afraid for a couple of years where he can make the big time Yamamoto money here. So it is what it is.
And that's another thing that's weird, George. How that works? Like how Yamamoto was able to get the big money. This guy's not like there's. It's just so bizarre how they do all this stuff. The dopey posting rules and everything that.
It's weird.
It's nonsense.
It needs to be redone, especially since now we're seeing so many top flight Japanese players. Right, we're not talking, this guy's a number four starter or the backup center fielder. We're talking top flight players here. So there probably does need to be a better way. I'd be lying to you, Mike, if I know of a better way. But I do think we need to come up with something here.
I don't know it either, George.
That's the problem, right? I mean, we can all complain about it. What's your solution? And I just don't have one.
Certainly don't have one. That's for sure. We do have hockey tonight, George, for you, including the 14-1 Winnipeg Jets at the Garden against the Rangers tonight. 1-1 early in the second period in that game. We have Ottawa up 1-0 in Toronto against the Leafs, and the Devils have a 1-0 lead late in the first period in Sunrise against the Panthers. So we have three games going. Bruins are in St. Louis, about to drop the puck right now. An hour away from the Islanders starting there. It's no longer like even the West. It's the Western Canadian plus Seattle trip now for everyone when they make these trips. They've kind of put Seattle in with the Western Canadian trip for the East Coast teams. And the Islanders will be on that starting tonight in Edmonton. You have Columbus in Seattle and the Flames and the Canucks going tonight as well. So a good night of hockey for you, George. I'm sure you're involved.
Oh, very involved. All right. Probably more so because we're doing the show here tonight. So it gives me something here. Real quick, I'm on the under Winnipeg Rangers here. Didn't play a team that I think is expected to be a good game. Senators had beaten the Maple Leafs, I think, three or four straight times here.
Yeah.
No Austin Matthews, of course, for the Maple Leafs. So give me the Sens there. On the over there, though, so that's not looking too good here. Sens are winning, but we only got one goal here just into the second period. Under in the Devils Panthers for obvious reasons. Two good defensive teams, two good goalies there. Don't have much scoring. Bruins, St. Louis, both teams not playing all that well here. Give me the Blues. I'll take the plus money with the Blues there. Although plus money didn't help you last night with the Vegas Golden Knights at home. And of course, their first home loss is when I'm betting on them. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much there. No shock that I'm on the Edmonton Oilers to beat the New York Islanders goal line. Not the -235 there. Undecided about a total in that game yet, Michael. The Islanders have been scoring some goals. Maybe we can get the over 6.5 there. Plus money, Mike. I think I'm leaning
probably,
the over there, and of course, give me the crack and
the over there. I would take Edmonton lay the puck line tonight. They'll probably smash the Islanders in that game. Smash them.
Agreed.
No shot. I got no confidence whatsoever in the Islanders right now. We'll come back, and I'll also run through all the hoops that are going on. We got a lot, plenty of football too. Carver and Lisi Sports Good Radio, Sirius XM 159. Back up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Marvin Leesy, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid on a Tuesday night. So Carver with you, sans Leesy, Joe out on assignment as he's looking for several coaches after the weekend that have upset him. Not as much as last week with Lincoln Riley, but he's looking for a few. In fact, he needs all week to do it as he won't be back with us till Friday night. Here on CNL. George Kurtz is with me, so we're going to do lots of football tonight, and we've got the hockey going on. I will keep everyone up to date because normally everyone knows this. I'm not the biggest fan of regular season NBA games, especially this early in the season. I don't like betting on things where I don't know the full effort that's being given on any given night, or who cares and who doesn't, and things like that. And the NBA regular season, for the most part, is extremely meaningless. This NBA Cup, I got involved with it last year, which was their regular season in-season tournament. And, you know, it seemed like, for the most part, there was a little bit of a higher level of competition. Obviously not playoff-level competition, but slightly a few notches above the normal November or December regular season game. So that got underway tonight. So all these games that are happening are from that NBA Cup, which is Tuesdays and Fridays here for the next few weeks. Celtics lead the Hawks 65-54. That's at the half. They were laying, I think, 16.5 in that game. Magic are up 11 on the Hornets in Orlando, 58-47. The Pistons are up 6 on the Heat at the half. They were getting 1.5 at home. And now they're laying 3.5 at halftime. The Knicks are in Philadelphia against the Sixers. They're up 38-32. Of course, you had Embiid returning for Philly tonight. I think I just saw that he went back to the locker room already, so that was very short-lived for him. Bucks are up 8-5 on Toronto. That just got underway. Suns, Jazz later. Mavericks and the Warriors, of course, the big thing there is Klay Thompson returning to face his old team for the first time. You got the T-Wolves and the Blazers on the late night side of things as well. As far as the college basketball, the big game is this Kansas-Michigan State game in Atlanta, 57-52. Pretty good game here with just at the under eight timeout with Kansas laying 6.5 live. You have Duke-Kentucky following that game in Atlanta with Cooper Flagg. In between that, on ESPN is when they're going to reveal this week's college football playoff ranking. So that is something that we'll keep our eye on as well. All right, there you go, George. I did all the housekeeping for the stuff that George isn't a big fan of, which is the NBA, the college football, the college basketball. We were able to get that stuff in and out fairly quick and easy. So I am involved a little bit on these NBA games. A couple guys for some threes maybe tonight. And listen, Klay has sucked for Dallas so far. But if not now, when? If you're ever going to bet Klay Thompson to do anything, it might as well be tonight back in San Fran against the Warriors. So I think I have him at a big price for 25-plus points. Maybe he goes off and hits a bunch of threes against his old team. I'm on this Cat Towns boost on FanDuel in the Knicks game, him to score 20 and the Knicks to win at plus $1.80. So we'll see if we can get that in the barn as well here over the next few hours. Matthias is with us as well tonight, and we will eventually get to him. I'm not going to do it right now because there's only like 2 or 3 minutes left in the segment, but Matthias, as we like to say on this show, George, you got to go to the podium. Usually we do it on Mondays, but we're not on Mondays during football season anymore, so it'll be on Tuesdays, and Matthias has to go to the podium after a completely gutless performance from his Atlanta Falcons in New Orleans against the Saints on Sunday. So Matthias will at some point tonight have to address that situation. The coach is wild, though, on New Orleans, George. That guy Rizzi's nuts. And that's he's the typical guy, George, that we've seen in the past, has a lot of juice, has a lot of energy. Saints will probably win like 3 or 4 games down the stretch against bad teams. And the owners will be like, well, they must like playing for this guy. And it'll end up being long-term a huge mistake. but he's like the kind of guy that players rally around when he gets named the interim coach. He seems like that type of a guy.
All right, you got the new coach bump, right? You beat Atlanta. You probably shouldn't have, but you did. You play Cleveland this week. It's a possibility. You got the Giants on the schedule. Vegas is on the schedule. Tampa,
that's
last game
I
of
mean.
The season. That may not mean anything. You're right. He could win, as you said, 3-4 games.
He will.
And
he'll play them out of a top five pick. Is what
that's exactly what I was going with it. Right? He's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you because you're not going to get the the Shador Sanders of the world, Carson Beck's, and Cam Ward and everybody else. So it is funny. It is funny. As the Winnipeg Jets, by the way, just take a 2-1 lead on the power play.
Wow.
A 2-1-0 in front of Shesterkin. Good defense range is probably not what you want to do.
Can you believe, George, that is nuts. 14-1 to start the season. Like, that's just, and it's Winnipeg, so it's obviously. Well, there's two things. It's Winnipeg and it's the NHL, so it's not going to get as much attention as something like that should get. But that is nuts to win 14 of your first 15 games in the winning 14 out of 15 games anytime in the NHL is nuts. To win it the first 15 games of the year is really crazy.
It is. Now, listen. If you want to break down schedule wise, they have had one of the easiest schedules in the NHL by far. But I don't care. You beat 14 out of 15. Okay, you're playing college hockey. All right, that's still an incredible achievement here. But, Mike, the Winnipeg Jets are the Dallas Cowboys. Usually great regular seasons. And then choking up during the playoffs,
well,
can't beat anybody.
That's the thing. Hellebuck has become one of these guys now. And, again, doesn't get the attention because he plays for Winnipeg. But Hellebuck has become a guy that incredible regular season player. Absolute zero in the playoffs. And that's what Hellebuck has been for the Winnipeg Jets. I can't wait. We'll get to we'll do the Cowboys maybe. I was going to save it for the start of the
Lamar
second
Jackson?
Half. We'll probably have to get to
go say Lamar Jackson
even
too.
Earlier.
That guy doesn't perform that well.
If there's anyone who could get an injury, like, you never want to see guys get injured. But Dak's got to be sitting there like, place is burning down. I'll see you guys later. I'm out of here. I'm done for the year. I'm going to go take a break. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 159, great to have you here with us. Mike Carver with you, sans Joe. Joe's out. George Kurtz is in for him as we've got rocking with you on a Tuesday night on the grid. All right, George, we'll have several things to get through. We usually start, though, with the night before's Monday night game. Man, that was a tough watch, George, and that's why I saved it for the shortest segment of the hour. Which is this one, that Ram-Dolphin game, when we had come off some really good entertaining primetime games, because the Raven-Bengal game was great on Thursday, the Lion-Texan game was a lot of fun, especially, you know, with the Lion comeback in the second half Sunday night. And then that was just, when teams are kicking field goals all night, George, it really makes me want to smash my head into the wall. I think I fell asleep at one point. And then I woke up and it felt like I didn't miss anything because it just nothing was happening in the game. Very tough watcher. And let's be honest, George, because really they're two mid-tier teams in the league. That's really what you were watching on Monday night with the Dolphins and the Rams.
This looked like, Mike, an early season Thursday night game. It was sloppy. I mean, how many times was the ball fumbled by the quarterback? You know, it was over and over again. I mean, bad snaps, and they couldn't handle it. It was just ugly football. Ugly, ugly football. You had deceptions here. I mean, it was a slog. It was just a slog, a hard watch for teams that had Tyreek Hill, you know, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, Devin Achane. You expect better, much better. Most of us were on the over. That might have been me too, by the way. So, and it was, at least we didn't have to sweat. You didn't have to sweat it out because you never really had a chance. You already said the five field goals that Correa, whatever the guy's name is on LA, kicked it. Good for him, but not good for us.
He missed one, too. He had six attempts. He missed a field goal, too, at some point along the way there. So that was unfortunate because look, you know what we do on the standalone games. I mean, we load up and we, you know, we get involved with, we had a lot of guys last night, whether it was Hill did score. You know, Waddle had, because I was on a few Waddle things at 75 yards. Waddle had 55 yards in the first drive of the game. I think he had two the rest of the game. He finished with 57. Like, come on. You know, that's what, you get to 55 on the first drive, you're like, oh, this is great. This is going to be a big night. We're going to do really well here. And then he doesn't see the ball again. It was just so painful. And afterwards, the Dolphins think that they're in it still, Georgia. And really, mathematically, they are, because they're one game back in the loss column from Denver. I mean, Denver's 5-5. Miami's 3-6 now, right? So Denver hasn't had their bye yet, which is why they've played one more game than everybody else. So you look at that. There's six teams in the AFC are in, right, George? I don't see those six teams at the top coming back to the pack, which is Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Steelers, Chargers, and Texans. You know, I think those six teams have obviously kind of separated. But that last spot is there, whether it's Denver, whether Cincinnati makes a run, the Dolphins make a run. But the Dolphins' schedule is conducive to it, because they play, I believe, the Raiders and the Patriots the next 2 weeks. And that gives them a chance to kind of jumpstart themselves before they play Green Bay on Thanksgiving night.
You just said you can't lose either one of those games. They're both at home. You're playing bad teams. You win those both, you're 5-6. Theoretically, you're right there. All right, Cincinnati plays the Chargers this week. And by the way, I'm not automatically putting the Chargers in. I think they get in. I would bet them to get in, by the way. So I think they get in, but I think if we're going to put the top five teams, and then I would put the Chargers. And by the way, the only reason Houston's is going to get in is because the division. They're going to win the division. All right, they're terrible too. But the Chargers, like I said, they're in that sort of they're in heck. You know, they're not in heaven. They're not in hell. They're in heck somewhere. So, but I do think they get in here. You know, Miami also plays the Jets twice. That could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing.
Patriots,
I don't know.
Patriots, Raiders, Cleveland? Jets twice. Cleveland. That's
Cleveland's
five.
Cleveland's in here too. Houston, that's San Fran, Green Bay have a tough games.
Winnable games. They have what, three right now? If they ever won all. Now, I highly doubt that they would win all five, because it's just the way the NFL is
now. They're going to have to.
But the five would get him to
eight.
They
would have to win all five and then beat Houston, San Fran, or Green Bay to get to nine.
One of them. They'd have to win one of those other three. And look, you saw it the other night. I don't think Houston's exactly, like you said, they're lucky they're in that division. Carver Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George in for Joe. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here. All on the grid on a Tuesday night. Mike Carver with you. Sans Joe. Joe out. George Kurtz in. As we've got several things going on here for us this evening. I was just looking, George, just to finish this up. They have the Chargers at minus 470 to the yes to make the playoffs. Minus 470. Plus 340 to the no. They have Denver at plus 184 to the yes. Minus 230 to the no. Those are the two teams that are in the last two spots in the AFC right now. Cincinnati plus 134 to the yes, minus 164 to the no. So they think that the Bengals will overtake Denver for that last spot, according to the odds, the book does at least. They have Miami at plus 290 to the yes, minus 385 to the no. So that's a jump, plus 290. For all that. If you're a believer, George, and I think that there's some out there who might be, you know, the Jets are plus 710 to the yes.
Boy, if you're a believer in the Jets, man. And as I was at one point, I thought the Jets, I said, I have a ticket on the Miami Dolphins to win the AFC East, because I think I told you in the beginning of the season, it was the best value. They had the third, so I took them. Not that I thought they'd do, but I thought they would certainly put up a better fight than this. But yeah. if you want to believe him, the problem is the Jets, I mean, in some way, are you playing Indianapolis Sunday? I think that should be a win, right? I think you're playing Joe Flacco, who's like 900 years old. Then you play Indy, Seattle at home.
Indy has better odds than the Jets to make the playoffs. Indy's plus 220 to the yes. And the Jets are 7-10. Don't they have the same record, Jordan? Aren't they both 3-6? Aren't the Colts 3-6? Or the Colts got 4 wins? Did the Colts get the 4?
I think the reason why Indy would have better chance, because there's also a chance they could still win the division while the Jets can't. Yeah, right. Indy's 4-6. So I'm guessing that's why Indy has a little bit better shot. We know the Jets aren't catching Buffalo. And listen, the Jets' schedule is nice. I mean, outside of Buffalo again, you know, in week 17, it's in Buffalo. I mean, it's in front of you, right? Indianapolis, they're not great. Seattle, not great. They're you not. Play Miami twice, not great. Rams, not great, and they're at home. Jacksonville sucks. You know, so they're it finished. Is there, but the problem is the Jets are finished.
George, you know this. You've been watching this team. You've lived in this town for a long time. They have, no doubt about it, shut it down after Sunday. You listen to some of those guys after that loss in Arizona. They have completely shut it down. Rodgers sounded like he couldn't get back in that bunker with the darkness retreat fast enough after that game on Sunday. He is so finished. They all are gutless. You've got the guys on defense who have been the biggest. Everybody loves bagging on Rodgers. I said this to Scott yesterday. Everybody loves hitting Rodgers, and rightfully so. He's been bad. But their defense, George, everyone said was ready-made. Best in the NFL. Look at the talent. All three levels. The D-line, the linebackers, the back end, the defensive back. More talent than anyone else on defense. They have been destroyed the past few weeks. I mean, George, getting run over by Arizona in that game on Sunday. Their awful defense. That's been the real amazing part to this Jets season was that. They are packing it in. Finished.
Well, you know, maybe you don't fire your head coach who's a defensive guy and the defense is playing well at that point. Maybe you just don't do that. Not that I think this all would have mattered all that much anyway, but maybe you just don't do that. Listen, your two biggest disappointments in the NFL are probably the Jets and the Cowboys, right? I mean, probably.
Hands down, by far. Right?
I mean,
far, no doubt. And at least the Jets now could, I mean, the Cowboys, now the wheels were, you know, the train was off the tracks before Dak got hurt. But when it gets real bad now and they finish 5-12, you know, they're going to say, well, we didn't have Dak for the whole November and December. Yeah, you know, they can say that.
That'll be a
Jerry the Jets are not going to be able to say that. The Jets are not going to be able to say that at all. This is going to be, and I just, you could see it. You can listen to them and hear it, George. They're packing it up. I'm stunned. You know, Indies, you're getting 3.5, I think it is, with Indy right now. In this game on Sunday. And I know Indy's also, they had their own players. Kenny Moore calling out that they weren't playing up to this. You know, nobody was trying against the Bills. I think that the Colts will have a little bit more heart than the Jets on Sunday at MetLife. A little bit more heart than them. I think the Jets are calling it.
I doubt I'm betting on it either way. This is an ugly game. Those games remind me of the 80s, Mike. 80s when we had to watch these games. We couldn't watch any other game. You're praying for a 10-minute ticker. Show you scores of games to be interested. Yeah, that's the old Sunday afternoon where 1 o'clock was Jets Indy, and the 4 o'clock was Giants Arizona, and you wanted to hang yourself.
They'd go to Will McDonough on the sideline with the cap on, and he'd give you the updates like around the league, and he'd give it like all that.
Loved
like
it.
That's what you would
loved it.
That's what you'd be. That was your only way of knowing what was going on in the other games throughout the league, and now. It's just we have it all right at our fingertips. It's just amazing how much times have changed. But I think the Jets completely.
The younger generation has no idea what we're talking about, by the way. No idea.
They have no clue. Like, you used to, you know, I remember watching these games growing up, late 80s, early 90s. And it was just, you know, there was, you know, we didn't have what we have now. And you literally
the
had to watch.
The 10-minute ticker that came out in the 80s was like the greatest invention ever, folks, ever. The 10-minute ticker was every 10 minutes, they get all the scores of all the other games and flash on the screen. Because all you watched in New York were the Giants and the Jets, and back then they both sucked. And it was just awful football.
That's the only games that you got, aside from the primetime games, Sunday night game, Monday night game. There was no Sunday night game back then. Yeah, there was no. Yeah, ESPN eventually had Sunday night, right? They eventually started doing ESPN.
As old as I am, there was no Sunday night every now. Well, every once in a couple of years, you might get a Sunday night game.
I remember in my, you know, obviously growing up when I became a Bills fan, was during this time, or when the Kelly years, the 90-91, there were Sunday night games at that point on ESPN, because I remember watching a few of them. But yeah, it was a whole nother world of trying to watch and consume the NFL as opposed to what it is now, 30 years later. It's just
greatest thing ever was the Sunday ticket. Sunday ticket was the greatest thing ever.
Greatest thing ever.
All my games.
And now you have to have even more than that. You have to have
one thing I'll miss. I don't know if you did this one before the ticket, but one thing I'll miss was going to a bar. Go to a sports bar and hanging out with a whole bunch of Cowboy fans playing Philadelphia.
Yep.
Or, you know, what? I don't know if you have Bright Fellows, I remember that in East Meadow. There's a great bar. They had every game. You had fans of every team watching their games. It was great. People were cool back then. There were nobody fighting. You know, just fans watching their games. It was a lot of fun. But it was
25 years ago, George, it was, for me, McFadden's in New York City on 3rd Avenue is where all the Bills fans went. They went to McFadden's in New York City. That was the Bills backer bar there. And I think they still have one in New York City, but that McFadden's closed a long time ago. And I know it. But when it was there, it was nuts. And it was just great. And that was the place. Because if you didn't have the Sunday ticket, that's where you had to go watch the game. Like, you had to go somewhere that had the Sunday ticket on. Not everybody had. Now, it wasn't as accessible. You had to have DirecTV. Now you just need YouTube to go and access it. It was such a different time. So me and George doing a little Remember When here on Carver and Lisi tonight. Little Remember When. So that's one of our favorites.
At least you only go back as far as Jim Kelly. I go as far back as Roger Staubach, okay? I watched him play.
Yeah,
so I'll let you know something.
The first, like the first NFL games I remember watching was when the Giants beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl in 86. That was, like, I was 6 years old, and I remember Washington the next year destroying Denver. I remember the Super Bowls when I was 6, 7, 8. And the individual games didn't start for me till I was around 10, but the Super Bowls I all remember at that age. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Harvard Lisi, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Here with you on a Tuesday night on the grid. Carver sans Lisi, Joe out on assignment. So, of course, George Kurtz is here as per usual on a Tuesday, and we have a lot of things going on. Clearly, there's plenty of hockey, and George has been keeping his eye on that, as he always does. 3-0 Ottawa leads Toronto now, there, with about a minute to go in the second period. Jets lead the Rangers 3-2, end of two at the Garden. Devils still lead 1-0 in Sunrise against the Panthers. Scoreless late first in St. Louis between the Bruins and the Blues. And then you still have Islanders, Oilers, Flames, Canucks, and Jackets and Kraken coming up later on this evening on the left coast in the Pacific Northwest. So we have all of that going. We have NBA tonight, too. Celtics now only up 91-84 on the Hawks. Pistons up 4 on the Heat, 74-40. Magic up 82-64 on the Hornets, blowing them out. Knicks are up 4 on the Sixers at the half, 54-50. Bucks up 32-25. On the Raptors, that game is in Milwaukee. And as far as the college hoops goes, Kansas did beat Michigan State 77-69, so they barely cover that number as well. Duke and Kentucky going to start probably in about 20-25 minutes. I know they're doing all the college football playoff pomp and circumstance now. I'm not sure if they've released any of those yet. Have they started it? Yes, they're about to start it right now. So I'll probably flip over while that's going on, George, and see what's happening there. Why don't we give, if Matias is with us, and I'm pretty sure that he is, let's give Matias a chance now. It's podium time for him as his Atlanta Falcons, you know, and me and Joe, actually, George, me and Joe were both on the Saints on Friday night on the show, and that upset Matias because we both thought the Saints would give a spirited effort for this guy Riz, the Riz man, and sure enough, they did. Matias, go ahead. Explain to me who you're blaming here for the Falcon loss in New Orleans on Sunday.
It was failure from top to bottom. First half, I put it on Zach Robinson and his terrible play calling on third and short, second and shorts, and trying to hit home runs, you know, playing with your food, not playing smart football, gaining a quick lead, gave New Orleans some life in the first half. You know, they get a 35-yard field goal blocked to end the half, which even gives the New Orleans Saints some more momentum. But even though they were going into the half 17-7, I still thought the Falcons could come back and win the game. And you know what? They did exactly what I thought they were going to do until it was time to win the game, until it was time to make the big plays in the fourth quarter. Big fumbles by Kirk Cousins. Big interception by Kirk Cousins. Coup missing kicks left and right. But even at the end of the game, guys, at the end of the game, you could kick a 60-yard field goal to tie the game on fourth down. Instead, they play with their food and try to get a first down. I don't know what the hell they were doing. I don't care that Coup is missing 2 out of 7 kicks either, Carver. If you got a chance to tie the game with a 60-yard field goal, you do it. The last time the Saints played the Falcons, Coup made a 58-yard field goal to win the game. This time you could give a kid the chance to make a 60-yarder, and they don't do it. But like I said, failure from top to bottom multiple times in the game. Kirk Cousins probably has his second worst game as a Falcon with turnover problems. And yeah, a recipe for disaster.
I mean, these guys are all hitting 60-yarders all over the place this year. Plenty of guys hitting 60. And Coup can hit that. I know he missed a big. Coup can hit a 60-yarder. There's no reason to.
He was shook, Carver. He's been shook, though. That's the thing. I would have still gave him the shot.
I saw Arthur
he's shook.
Blank
he's
put,
shook.
The, put the blanket on him after the game, gave him the big hug. Arthur Blank walked him into the locker room because the kid was all upset. I saw it all. You're lucky. Here's the thing, Matias. The good thing for you is, kind of like what George said about Houston before, is the rest of the division stinks. So, I mean, you're going to be in good shape in that NFC South, and you better be, because as you know, we've got several Falcon tickets from a long time ago that we put in to win this division. So hopefully they do that because I don't see Carolina, New Orleans, and Tampa has been, you know, Baker's played tough, but they're just, they don't win anymore. You know,
what's the end goal here? The NFL is a year at a time, a week at a time. You know what I mean? Like, well, they're going to lose to the Commanders at home in the first round of the playoffs. Like, I think the Falcons have the potential to be a little bit more, but they didn't sign a pass rusher before the trade deadline, which I really do think is going to hurt them. And, you know, I think they think they're better than what they actually think they are. It's like this team has to play disciplined football, you know, every single time and act like they're the underdog. These guys are playing like they're the freaking Chiefs, you know, trying to get big plays on every single damn play, man. It's like run the ball, use Bijan Robinson, use play action. I just think they're trying to hit home runs every single play. Can they do it? They can, but, man, it's getting old. They're making too many mistakes and letting bad teams stay in the game. You know, they wouldn't play like that against better teams. That, you know, against the Panthers, they got away with it. I thought the first half play calling against the Panthers in Carolina was terrible. And then in the second half, they recovered with, you know, with good play calling, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, throw to open receivers, you know, because there's stuff in the box. They didn't do that against the New Orleans Saints. You know, they just kept doing dumb mistakes. It was such a drunk game for the Atlanta Falcons. It's frustrating because you'd think that Coup could get him out of it, and he couldn't do it this time. You know what I mean? It's like they stunk it up, and they deserve to lose the game. But they'll be back against Denver. They'll be back against Denver.
That's not an easy trip this week. That's not an easy trip to Denver. Back
it isn't, but you know what? That's what they need, Carver. That's what this team needs. Trip. You're right.
I like it.
It's what this team needs, though. You know, this team, if they play up to that level, they're going to win football games. But when they play bad teams and think that they're not, you know, they're too good to play this team, or they're going to come out and play soft football, they're going to lose because they're not that good. You know, they got to play to their level of football every single game. George knows what I'm talking about. You know, you can't be that mediocre team that thinks you're going to play bad football and win bad and win games in the NFL. You know, there's only a couple teams like the Lions who can do that. You know, the Lions can get away with that, you know, playing bad football for a half and then coming back and win the game. You know, not
they
the Falcons.
They can do that. They can get away with that. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 169. We're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 159. Carver sans Lisi. George Kurtz is in for Joe. We will start the next hour with George's Cowboys. And there's the litany of things that we have to get through with them. And that's become like a almost have to get like a weekly like sponsored segment now here when George is in for Joe on Tuesday nights about what went wrong with the Cowboys this week. And we will do all that with him coming up here in a few minutes. So Matias went to the podium there, George, and we let him do all the talking pretty much in that segment. I don't know. I know you agree with me. That is a very tough trip for them going to Denver this week. You know, Denver's been on the road the last couple weeks, lost a very tough game to Kansas City on Sunday. Atlanta, second week in a row on the road, going to a place that we know is always very tough to win at. That's a very tricky game for the Falcons this week. A very tricky game.
Agreed. I said, I think the Falcons are the better team. I do. But as you said, tricky place to play. You're dealing with the altitude, which can be a can take some getting used to there. Denver's feeling it. They're playing good football. Probably should have beat the Chiefs on Sunday, right? In Kansas City, by the way. They should have won that game. Unbelievable that they had that field goal blocked. It's funny, Mike, I'm watching that. You know, I was like, I actually said to myself, they'll probably block it. They find, you know, and sort of they do. They just find ways to win games the Chiefs. Unbelievable that they do that. But I don't think this will be an easy win for the Falcons. I think this will be a close game coming down to the end. I actually agree with everything Mathia said about the game, by the way. I might have some pushback on the field goal at the end. I don't think they could have gotten it off. All right, remember, they had no timeouts left. That's why they had to run that stupid play. Why Cousins threw the ball short of the first down marker or didn't go for the end zone is unbelievable to me. That so much reminded me, Mike, of the when he was at Minnesota, played the Giants in that playoff game. Where he threw the ball, I want to say to Hawkinson, where a play that meant nothing. What are you doing? I mean, once again, maybe that's why you're not an elite quarterback because you just don't think that way. But it's amazing to me how many quarterbacks, I mean, veteran quarterbacks just don't know how to do a 2-minute drill. They just don't understand it. I mean, it was just weird how that was going on there. But I don't think they really had a chance to even give Koo a shot. There's no way they could have gotten the kicking unit out there. I think they had like 7 seconds. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Wasn't going to happen, probably. No doubt about that. But look, 2.5's the number as well right now for Denver. -2.5 Denver, 44.5 total. And that's in the late window, 4:05 on Sunday. We will go through most of the games for this week. And this is really, George, when you talk about like this is, I believe, the first week of the season. We've hit week 11, where there are a bunch of huge heavy hitter games on the schedule, and even on Thursday night with obviously Washington and Philadelphia, huge game. Ravens Steelers, huge game. Bills Chiefs, huge game. So you have three enormous matchups. Bills Chiefs, I think I saw, George, only the fifth time in the last 40 years or something like that, that two teams with 8 wins or more meeting in week 11 or something like that is some crazy stat that they had. So going to be a lot of fun with all these matchups this week, that's for sure. So we'll do that in hour number two, along with the Cowboys to start the hour off. They're doing the college football playoff rankings right now. And they have Georgia out, by the way. They had Georgia as the first team out in terms of it. I did not think they would fall that far after losing to Ole Miss, but they have. And they still have Miami in there. They have Ole Miss into the poll. They have Indiana at 7. Well, they have them 5 in the rankings, but they're in the 7th slot on the tree. It's confusing the way that they do this now. If you're watching it along, they should just run them down 1 through whatever. But they don't do that because why would those high-powered people in suits who put this thing together actually ever do anything right? That's not what they're good at. They're not good with ever doing anything smart. As far as the hockey goes, you said that the 1-1 now, Devils and Panthers, that was the one score change from the last time that we looked. And they are about to start in Edmonton.
Scored?
Who was it, George? Who scored for that?
Reinhardt. It's always Reinhardt. Every damn time it's Reinhardt.
For the Panthers. It's amazing. They win a lot, and they really only have like three guys that score goals on the team. They basically just have three lines of grinders and then a couple stars that score, but it works for them. Sure does. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back. Hour 2 next on the grid.